Well, if you do have a Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 72 this morning. Psalm 72, which is on page 586 of the Church Bibles. I don't know how many people have got those, actually, but there we are. Psalm 72. And it says this, "Of Solomon, endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, and I don't know about you, but I can remember times when working in a school where there's been an incoming new head teacher, and there's always been like a bit of a hub of excitement about it. And the same, I guess, when people work for companies and there's a new chief executive or boss coming in, and there's always been that air of anticipation and wondering what kind of person is going to be over me, if you like. You know, will they be a gentle leader who is understanding and patient and know that we're not perfect and we make mistakes and get things wrong? Or will they be somebody who shows partiality or be oppressive and severe with their staff members? You know, would their time in office make the institution stronger or weaker? Well, this psalm provides a wonderful insight into an incoming king, a king who is on his way. And it tells us, first and foremost, not about the reign of King Solomon, but the reign of King David's greater son, King Jesus, the perfect king, our king, your king. And as we consider this wonderful King Jesus, you know, I pray that it brings a really deep and lasting comfort to you who know him by faith. And for those of you who don't know him yet, I pray that you will want to join with him in this kingdom, come under his rule and reign as we go through this psalm. But just very quickly, just by way of a quick clarification at the outset. There's one thing that sometimes confuses people when they come to this psalm. It starts off by saying, "of Solomon." And then it concludes with the words, "this concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse." And there's different ways you can read that. Is it a prayer of Solomon on the eve of his coming to become king? Or is it a prayer of King Solomon's dad, David, for his son as he comes into rule? Well, I could go through that, but to be honest with you, I don't think it really matters who the author is, because in a far greater way, it is pointing forward to King Jesus. And if you want to chat about that authorship later on, I'm more than happy to go through it, but it's a bit involved and not really central. So just seven things, very briefly, about this perfectly wonderful king that is coming, King Jesus. And the first thing to notice is that Jesus is a perfectly just, a perfectly fair king. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "Endow the king with your justice, O God. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice." Now, you may remember how this was partially fulfilled, this prayer, in the time of King Solomon. You know, he prayed for wisdom, didn't he? And there was that famous judgment that he made very, very early on in his reign, when two prostitutes were brought before him. They both lived together in the same home. They both had a baby. One of the children died, and they disputed who the remaining living child belonged to. And Solomon very famously commanded that the child be cut in half and half be given to each of these two women, at which, of course, that prompted the real mother to jump forward and say, "Give the baby to her." And then, of course, that was what Solomon was waiting for, and he was able to say, "Give the child to his real mother." Well, not even the wisdom and the justice of Solomon comes even remotely close to the justice of Jesus, the perfect king, who this is pointing to beyond the reign of any earthly king. Clothed with divine authority, King Jesus is going to silence every slander against his people, every wrong that is done against them. And you will be there on that day. You will see him exercise perfect judgment in wonderful, glorious justice. All the evidence will be there before him. Everything that is hidden will be made known. Nothing, not even the motivations of people's hearts, are hidden from his view. Unlike any earthly judge, all evidence is before him. It is as plain to him as anything is. Now, are you downtrodden now? Are you overlooked? Are you oppressed in some way? Well, verse 4 tells you that your king sees you and he cares. Your Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, has you under the shelter of his wing. And it's not long before the oppressor who seeks to break you will himself be broken by your king. All the enemies of God's people, be that sin, be that Satan, be that every person who has sought to do them harm down the ages, and unrepentantly so, will be crushed on that day under the iron rod of King Jesus. And none can stop that from happening. His justice will be done. This king is perfect in justice. Everyone who has received his merciful touch already will on that day fear no condemnation. They are washed clean because of what he has done for them on the cross of Calvary, where he laid down his life for their sins, securing justice that every sin might be punished. But he lays down his life that their sin might be washed away, taking their punishment in their place. And yet no one who has rejected him as king, as Lord, will escape. So he is just. But secondly, notice that he brings peace and abundance, this wonderful king. Verse 3 and also verse 16. May the mountains bring prosperity or peace to the people. The hills, the fruit of righteousness. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. So during this coming reign, there will be an unparalleled time of peace, abundance, prosperity. You know, don't be fooled by false teachers who are out there. You might see them on TV who say that that time of prosperity is now, especially if you donate enough to their ministry. Jesus, the Son of Man, had nowhere to lay his head when he walked on the earth. He said to his followers, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." The apostle Paul was shipwrecked. He says he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. He was beaten with rods. He was pelted with stones. He spent a night and a day in open sea. He's been constantly on the move. He'd been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits. He was in danger from his fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. That's hardly a picture of prosperity of this apostle who served the perfect king during his time on earth. No, the time of perfect abundance and prosperity is yet to come. This perfect king is coming again to usher in a whole new era, in a new heavens and a new earth. But where Jesus is, there is peace. In fact, when Jesus draws near to us, the things that cause you to fear start to fall away. You know, are you in the valley of the shadow of death? You know, are you fearful of losing your job? Are you fearful of an important relationship faltering and fearful of what lies beyond that? Are you going through a trial that has caused you such anxiety as to keep you up late at night, into the early hours of the morning? You can't get rest in your mind because of it. Well, whatever your fears, whatever your worries, then this psalm says, bring them and cast them upon your perfect, wonderful King Jesus. As he draws near, then you feel the darkness ebbing away. You feel the forebodings ebbing away. Being in the presence of the light of the world, this perfect king, leads us into a peace that transcends our circumstances, lifts us above the trials that we are going through, real as they are. So let your times of trial, let your times of affliction lead you humbly to this perfect king whose very presence whispers to you, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And the psalm urges you to look again further ahead and to know that there's coming a time when the fruit of righteousness will be found amongst God's people everywhere, across the whole world. The spiritual darkness is one day going to be driven away for good and in its entirety. And verse 16, we see how from small beginnings, a handful of corn, there's going to come this great harvest. Now, the invisible church, that is, those who God knows to be his own, those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who belong to him, they have come from very small beginnings to number countless myriad of people who know this king as their Lord, their Savior, their God, King Jesus. You know, it was in the summer, the children and I were up just behind St. David's Church, and we were blackberry picking, and whilst we were there, sort of uncovering various things, and there were all these tombstones with these epitaphs, and they're all, so many of them, just pointing, not so much to the person whose remains were buried there, but pointing to Jesus and the faith that they had in him, and the love that they had for him. You know, all the way down the ages, there have been those who have known this perfect King as you do. You needn't fear for the church. You needn't fear for the cause of this King Jesus. You needn't be afraid for the cause of truth in the land. It is all in good hands. Nothing can prevail against his purposes and the extension of his kingdom as he has planned, as he has declared it will be. Pray that this peaceful, this peace-giving rule will grow until the very last soul is ushered in to his kingdom. And then that ushers in his perfect reign as he comes again. And all of this is fulfilled in wonder at his coming. But notice also that he reigns everywhere and forever. Verses 5 and 17. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. You know, there have been mighty empires down the ages, haven't there? The Persian Empire, the Mongolian Empire, the Roman Empire, even the British Empire. But they've all come and gone. You know that the reign of this king will endure for eternity. It says, continue as long as the sun, which is figurative for it's going to carry on forever. This king will outlast his creation. Your king is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, no amount of unbelief at any particular point of time in history or any particular nation in history is going to in any way diminish his kingdom. Nothing will shorten his reign. It just keeps going and going in its wonderful beauty and perfect justice and peace-giving prosperity. Not one true citizen of Jesus' kingdom is going to be lost. The work that he has begun in you, who know him by faith, he will see through to completion until he comes again. And you will appear blameless before him, not because of your own righteousness, because you are clothed with his perfect righteousness. And that will be the case forever. But notice also that this wonderful king brings refreshment to his people. Jesus refreshes his people. Verses 6 and 7, may he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. You know, the empires that I just mentioned to you earlier on, they were at times brutal, expanded by military conquest. But your king is like refreshing rain. Jesus will softly refresh you when you are weary, when you are wounded, when you are broken. He will help you spring back up in newness of life. When you are brought low, your king sees your misery. He sees that you are downcast, and he sees you as precious. His love towards you is gentle. It is so deep as to be the deepest love that there is to be known, and it's directed towards you who know him by faith. When you've stumbled into sin, when you've stumbled into hard-heartedness, when you've backslidden, you've pulled away from him and drawn away from him, he seeks you and draws you back. Or for those of you who don't know this king, why would you resist his reign? Why would you not want to come into such a king's kingdom? Why would you not want to come to him for the forgiveness that you need, the refreshment that you need, that your burdens might be lifted as his people know their burdens lifted? But notice, he reigns everywhere. verses 8 to 11. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts, and may all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. We're talking here about the King of Kings. It's already true that Jesus, his rule, he is already all-powerful. He always has been. His rule is all-encompassing. He could extinguish in a moment every single enemy and power and principality that sets itself up against him. But your king, as you know, as you've experienced, is a patient king. He is long-suffering. He was patient during your rebellion, during my rebellion, before he drew us gently to himself through repentance and the gift of faith in him that we have. He is patient with the backslider who drifts away from him before drawing him back. All the enemies of Jesus right now are being made a footstool for his feet. You know, rebellion is allowed to continue for a time, but all powers and principalities throughout all history, and in both the ones that we see and the ones that are hidden from view, all are subordinate to the creator of the universe, this King Jesus, the perfect king. And there is coming a time when no rival, no enemy, no rebellious soul will be found throughout the whole of the earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will stretch from the river to the ends of the earth. In other words, he will rule everywhere. All enemies will lick the dust. They will be hurled down to hell, and never to trouble the king's people ever again. If you know the Lord, the more this country in which you live now drifts into sexual immorality, drifts into godlessness, where the deceit abounds, where there is just plain foolishness everywhere you look, the more you can long for that wonderful universal rule that is coming when Jesus comes again. Well, that time will come and you will see it. The patience of your king will not endure forever. One day he will come and all things will be put right. But notice from that glorious picture of what is coming in history to the sixth point, you are precious to Jesus. You are precious to him. This is wonderful. Verses 12 to 14. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. Why? Because for precious is their blood in his sight. You know, we've already considered briefly how this perfect king delivers the needy and will deliver the needy and the afflicted and the oppressed. You know, are you in need of forgiveness? Well, cry out to Jesus. Are you in need of deliverance in some way or from someone? Well, cry out to Jesus. Are you lost, alone, helpless in the face of dark thoughts and forebodings? Well, cry out to King Jesus. You know, we've already heard that he will bring you peace, the likes of which cannot be known outside of him. A peace as he draws near by his Spirit in love. But why? Why does he do it? You who know Jesus are precious to him. You are precious to this perfect king. Now just think of that. You know, who are you and me that the God who flung the stars into space, who spoke the whole universe into being, should even think of us, let alone love us and care for us. But that is the truth. Jesus, Almighty God, loves you. He knows you. Your hairs are numbered on your head. He knows you by name. He knows your comings and goings. He cares for you. You are precious to him. You know, when even this morning, one of the children, I was downstairs as it happened, and I could hear one of the children cry out, clearly sort of the equivalent of night terrors. And when you hear that, you run as a father to your child out of compassion. Even if you're in bed all snug and nicely tucked in and warm, and nonetheless, if you hear your child in distress, you run to them. Didn't think about your own comfort. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, Isaiah reminds us, will be called the everlasting Father. The fullness of God the Father dwells in him. Jesus has a fatherly love for you that surpasses all other loves. It is the tenderest, most compassionate love that you can know. If you are in need, then call out to him in prayer and he will draw near to you. You can do that even now. In your hearts, call out to Jesus and know him and know his precious love as he sees you as precious. And then how do we respond to such a king, such a ruler? Well, there's only one fitting response just to finish, and that is to praise him. To praise this King Jesus. Verses 17 to 19. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You know, God revealed back in the Garden of Eden to the tempter, didn't he, that one day that tempter would have his head crushed by one of the offspring of Eve. And then Abraham received the same promise that through one of his descendants, every nation on earth would be blessed through one of his offspring. And then it was repeated again to King David. Through one of his descendants would this offspring come, who would be an eternal king, whose reign would endure forever. And then, several hundred years later, we hear of this humble carpenter in Nazareth, who there he is in just waiting for this child to come. To his virginal wife, and along into the comes into the world Jesus, this King of Kings. He was a descendant of David, Joseph was. And there's only one fitting response to this king. Praise him for his justice. Praise him for his righteousness that we've heard about. Praise him for the peace that he brings you. Praise him for the abundance that he will bring and brings in terms of our knowledge of God and the blessings we know in him. Praise him that his reign is going to be from everlasting to everlasting. Praise him that his rule is going to be everywhere, throughout all the earth. Praise him that his enemies, the enemies of his people, are going to be hurled down, not to be remembered again. Praise him that he knows you. He knows all of your needs. He knows your trials. He knows your afflictions. He knows your longings. And he sees you as precious in his sight. Praise him that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty everlasting God knows you and cares for you. Praise King Jesus for his gentle, wonderful, soul-refreshing love. Amen and amen. Let's turn to him in prayer now. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you for King Jesus. We thank you for the cross of Calvary, on which he died for our sins. Father, we thank you that, Lord, your love for us is so wonderful. Father, we thank you that when we are cast down, you draw near. Father, when we drift away from you, you draw us back. Father, we thank you that you love us as the perfect shepherd who leads us into green pastures. When we have been through the valley of the shadow of death, or when we have been through dark times, Lord, all of our forebodings and fears are known to you, and you draw near. And Lord, what peace we know when you draw near. Lord, we thank you that all of our sins that would cause us to fear you on that day that is coming when you come again in almighty power, Father, to judge the living and the dead. Father, we praise you that all of those sins are washed away by the blood you shed, Lord Jesus, on the cross for us. Father, we thank you for the refreshment we find in our wonderful Saviour. We thank you that he is such a king, a perfect king, whose reign will be forever. Lord, we pray that you would bless those who we know and love who are outside of your kingdom. We pray that you would draw near to them, that you would draw them through repentance into that wonderful joy of receiving faith in this king, the knowledge of God. Father, we pray for those in our community, Lord, who are far from you, who do not know you. Lord, we ask that you would draw near to them and bless them. Father, we pray that many souls, even now, who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and as we once were, Father, that many souls around us, known to us, would one day praise you as we do for our wonderful King, King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.